with your speaker, Don McWhorter.
Get your Bible. This is Bible Talk. I'm glad you joined us. I enjoy these sessions when we can study the Word of God together. It's an important instrument, you know. This is God's Word to mankind. All I know about God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, heaven, how to get there, hell, how to stay out of it, I find in this book. There is no other repository of that kind of truth. And so it is so essential that we know the Bible, that we follow the Bible. And that's why we call this Bible Talk. I'm sure you're not interested any more than I am in my opinions about this, that, or the other. We must have a Thus Saith the Lord for all that we believe and teach and practice. Now, there is a standing invitation. If I say something that is not according to the Word of God, you let me know. You see, my soul depends on that. You let me know, and I will publicly straighten that matter out. We want to do what's right. After all, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ on that day. I want to hear Him say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." And of course, the purpose of this program is in reaching millions upon millions of people, that out of these, there may be many who will hear that same thing. They believe the truth, practice the truth, live the truth, and they also will hear that wonderful, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." To that end, we dedicate Bible Talk. I'm going to be talking today about preaching fundamentals. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, there was a man by the name of Philip who went up to Samaria from Jerusalem, and he preached the word in Samaria. Verse 5 says, he preached Jesus. And then down in verse 12, it says, when they believed the good things which Philip spake concerning Jesus and his name, that is his authority, his kingdom, which is his church, and baptism, which is the element of the new birth, they gladly accepted that and obeyed the gospel. And so there were many Christians in that city. He was called away for another task, of course. You remember that the Ethiopian was traveling from Jerusalem back over to Ethiopia and Africa, and he was a good, honest man, and God wanted him to have an opportunity to hear the truth. And so Philip was sent down there to find the man as he intersected the path to tell him about Jesus, too, because he didn't know. You know, just because we know something about the Bible doesn't mean we know all of it. It doesn't mean that we know Jesus. We only know Him when we meet Him here. We do what He tells us to do. We're all sinners, Romans 3, verse 23. God has paid for our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 20, verse 28. But you see, we have to find Him and do as He tells us to do. Hebrews 2, 8 and 9. God only saves the obedient. To that end, let's study today about how preaching is so very fundamental. It's fundamental, and I'm glad I have this job. Years ago, when I was trying to decide what I wanted to do with my life, I had several scholarships. Had an opportunity to go to the U.S. Army Academy at West Point. Had an opportunity to enter law school. And really, at that point in my life, I was interested in being a lawyer. But then I heard the truth, obeyed the gospel. And from that day until this, the thing that has mattered is being able to preach the gospel, because it determines the destiny of men. Paul tells Timothy, he needs to preach the Word of God. Look at what it says to the people at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I've heard a lot of foolish preaching. And I've learned a lot about preaching foolishness. But this is entirely different. He said, this seems to be foolish to men. The Greeks and the Jews alike. This is a stumbling block, and this seems foolish to them. The Jews, the gospel was a stumbling block to them, Christ, because he gave up his life, and they thought he was coming to reign on this earth. And to the Greeks, it was foolishness. They thought, you know, this man couldn't even save himself from that cross. How do you think he could save us? But now that's God's plan. God uses what seems to be foolish. It's preaching to save them that believe. Mark 16, 16. The Great Commission says, go into all the world. We must preach the gospel in every nation. What are we going to do? We're going to tell them in our preaching what to do to be saved. See, preaching determines destiny. We're going to tell them, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. King James Version says, others say condemned. It's, you know, it's all the same thing. I'm not offended by the words that are found in the King James. It is good English language. Preaching is so vitally important. We find Paul telling Timothy, now, you preach this word, because in doing so, you will save yourself and those that hear you. You see, that's what I want to do. I want to go to heaven. My desire above everything else is to spend eternity with the God who made me, with the Lord who loved me enough to die for me, with the Spirit who supplied me with this inspired word. I'll also have an opportunity to be with all the saved throughout all the generations. Jesus used this illustration. He said, many shall come from this way and this way, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac in the kingdom of heaven. Of course, I'm interested in meeting those people. I'm also interested in knowing that I will forever be in the presence of those that I love dearly, because they're doing what I am. They are listening to and obeying the gospel of Christ. Now, if I'm wrong, they are too. And I'll miss seeing those great men of old. I'll miss the presence of God. To those who are lost, they're cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, but those who are saved, in the presence of God forever. You see, that's the importance of preaching. You'll save yourself, Paul tells Timothy, and you will save those who hear you. We're also aware of the fact that sometimes people don't preach the Bible. Oh, they may make people think they do. But they believe something other than what is revealed in the holy will of God. It may be in the creed of some denomination. It may be in words that were handed down by a council that met and handed down decrees as a result of that meeting. But God says, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12, these people have an opportunity to know the truth, but they don't want it. They want something else. So I will send them a lie that they may be damned, because they love not the truth. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. I know many people today who know the truth, but they've been deceived into thinking they don't have to do anything about the truth. They'd have to give up so many things in their lives that they really enjoy. They'd rather have what they have now than to have what the Bible really teaches. You know, Ezekiel, the watchman of God, in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, was told, I have set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. He said, if you see the enemy approaching, then you must warn the people of the city. If you don't, they'll be destroyed, but the blood, the blame will be on your hands. If you warn them and they won't do anything about it, there'll still be destruction, but it will not be them, it will be you whose soul is saved. You're going to save people by telling the truth if they accept the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Acts 20, Paul is talking to the elders of the church of Ephesus. They're down at Miletus. Paul is on his way to Rome. He doesn't know it. He's going to Jerusalem, where he's going to be arrested and sent to Rome free of charge. Not going to cost him any money. They're going to pay the transportation. They're going to provide the shelter, food, everything. Paul desired deeply to go to Rome, and he didn't know he was going to get to go, especially that way. He was arrested by the Romans. The Jews, though, were the instigators of that, as they were all of the persecutions that came against Christians there in that first century. Now, Paul knew the truth. And here's what he tells the people. To these elders from Ephesus, he said, you need to take heed. You need to feed your flock over which you have the oversight. He said, there are those who will arise, even like you, who will seek to draw disciples after them. But he said, I want you to know this. I am pure from the blood of all men, for I did not shrink to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Sometimes, turn over to Acts chapter 20 and read that speech that Paul made to the elders there. Makes you realize what a great sacrifice Paul made because he loved the truth. You see, preaching the gospel is important because it determines destiny. As Paul told these elders, some shall arise even from among yourselves who will teach false doctrines to draw away disciples after them. Paul says, as a matter of fact, departure has already started. It's necessary that people be brought back to the Bible. We have a great call. We think about it as the restoration movement. The church fell away, as Paul said it would, so deeply into apostasy that it was necessary that the seed be planted again. Everything was being planted was false doctrine. So they planted the seed again. And you know, the wonderful thing about it is, from the beginning, God said, whether it be physical or spiritual, every seed shall bring forth after its kind. Luke 8:11, the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. And so, if you're preaching something else, and most preachers are, sadly, most of them are ordained to preach where they preach, call themselves by that name. These people have sworn to teach what is in that book of discipline, or whatever else they might like to call it. But it is the simplicity of the Word that will call men back. It was by this means that the church grew. It grew in the first century by multiplication. Thousands, and then thousands multiplied by thousands. You know, when men came to the realization that people had left the truth and started again to just plant the pure seed. The church of our Lord grew by, I'm telling you, they grew by astonishing figures. Now, the Restoration Movement didn't start where many people think it did. It started many centuries ago in Europe. But the idea came to people who were living in America, let's do that too. The church grew mightily. Did you know in the mid-1950s, Church of Christ was the fastest growing religious group in America? I'm sad to say that no longer is true. We're down about third or fourth. Why? Because there have been men who call themselves gospel preachers who would not preach the gospel. They did exactly the same thing that Paul said the elders of the church at Ephesus themselves would see. They wanted to be more like the people around them, and so they compromised in order to meet the pleasures of the world. They thought that would make them grow, but it killed them. And so many have been lost as a result of that. When men depart from fundamental preaching, the destiny of souls are at stake. Departure from fundamental preaching means men are going to leave the truth. Now, let me tell you some of the characteristics of fundamental preaching. What do I mean when I say men ought to preach fundamentally? Well, I mean in the first place that these men must preach Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul gives Timothy this charge. And of course, he's an inspired man. God has given him this power and has given him this command. Timothy was a chosen vessel. And so he received this great charge from the Apostle Paul. Preach the Word. Be urgent. King James Version says instant. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. They'll have itching ears, and they will heap to themselves teachers who will tickle those ears for them, scratch them. And those people are going to be lost. So, preach the Word. That's what we're supposed to do. And so what we preach must be Scripture. Rightly divided, of course. All God's Word is inspired. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. But turn back three chapters and Timothy is told who has the charge to preach the gospel. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a preacher may get up and take a text and talk about it. But if he is not rightly dividing the word of truth, then he's twisting this, skewing this to his own damnation and the damnation of those who hear him and believe him. Scripture must be preached. As a matter of fact, Simon Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, going down through verses 16 through 21, he said, in staying with this word, we must have the realization that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, the only way the Scripture came is by the work of the Holy Spirit. None of it was written until the Holy Spirit came. Those things that are written about the life of Christ and tell about those who lived with Him, none of that was written at the time. It was written after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But now that refers to men in the Old Testament time too. Noah. So many other great preachers spake the Word of God. And so, it must be doctrinal. it must be scriptural. Look again at the admonition given to Timothy. Preach the word. And so, what are we going to do? When we talk about fundamental preaching, we're going to say, first of all, it must come from the Word of God, rightly divided. In the second place, it must be distinctive. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 14, in verses 7 and 8. He said, when the trumpet sounds, it must give a distinct sound, or the people won't know what to do. You know, a lot of people today don't really understand about that. I really don't know whether they use the various calls of the bugle in armed forces today or not. But there was always the reveille. There was always the time out for rest for the night. You know, the only thing that I have heard personally is something that touches me very deeply. I don't cry very easily. My emotions I hold in very well. But when I am preaching a funeral service for one who has died because they gave their life to defend exactly what I'm doing, the freedom that I have to preach the gospel of Christ, to live in a free country, or they may have lived through the war and now have died a natural death, but you know, when I stand at the cemetery and we are putting that body back into the ground, it came from dust and it'll go back to dust, and somewhere from a distance, I hear those haunting notes of taps. That always touches me. But now, they had various other signals that they gave. There was a boy, and many times during the Civil War, those that bore the flag and those that sounded the trumpet were just children, young boys. In one of the battles, one of the commanders on the southern side, the Confederates, told the boy, play the retreat, blow the retreat. He blew the signal to advance. It so happened, they happened to win that battle because of that, but the commander chewed him out. He said, I told you to play retreat, and you played advance. And with a trembling body and a quivering lip, he said, sir, I never did learn to play retreat. This is all I know to play. Paul says, when the bugler gives his sound, it must not be an uncertain sound. You have to know what it's for. In the same way, preaching the gospel must be that same way. Nothing uncertain about it. Just put it out there like God says it should be put out. And it must be simple. There is the simplicity of the gospel that no man really can escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said, beginning at the first verse, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of the Lord, because I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and trembling and fear. He said, much weakness, trembling, and fear. Why? He knew what he was saying would determine in part the destiny of his soul and the souls of those who heard him. He said, I did not want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. One statement I love so wonderfully, just a short little statement. In Mark chapter 12, verse 37, Jesus preached such simple little lessons that Mark records, the common people heard him gladly. But now, if there is fundamental preaching, there must also be such matters to be taken care of as preaching out of love. Sometimes I know that it sounds like a gospel preacher is not preaching with love. But he is, if he's a true gospel preacher. Now, it's not the kind of thing that you hear from people who many times are wanting your money, many times are wanting to sell you something or get a contribution from you. But I only do this because I love your soul. That love must be very apparent. In 2 John chapter 4, verse 8, John tells us, God is love. Oh, there must be love for the souls of men. For men to give their time and effort and money to preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find something down at the end of the chapter that talks about what Paul had gone through. We know of his many sufferings, his beatings and his shipwrecks and his stoning and all those things. But Paul mentions those and he says, in addition to that, I had in my heart, of course, I had the burden of the welfare of my brethren. That is so important. Friend, do you know the gospel? Do you know the doctrine of Christ? 2 John 9, if a man does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he's lost. He that abides in the doctrine has both the Father and the Son. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's what I'm wanting you to do. This is what fundamental preaching is all about. Yes, I preach. But I'm willing to sit down and counsel and talk. I'm willing to answer questions. I'm willing to write to you. I'm willing to spend time on the telephone with you. And I spend this time on the television. Expensive time. Not easily acquired. Because I love your soul. That's one of the fundamentals of gospel preaching. You need to try me. You can't believe everything that goes forth. John said, try the spirits, whether they be of God. I want to do what's right. And if I'm not doing that, I want to know that I'm not doing it. But I want to know what will help you to go to heaven. And that's why we preach the gospel of Christ. That love is so fundamental. I'm glad you joined us today. Remember, it starts and stops right here.